Reverend Butler and Pastor Pat have been a great asset to the body of Christ, and they certainly adopted me into this family. He's been a mentor and a great guide and a great teacher. He's deposited so many things while in the season at Memorial, while he served there, but also he was kind enough to develop a friendship and a relationship with me that still goes on today, and able to pour my life in many great ways, and so I'm so appreciative for your leadership. And it's very pleasant to see that when the leadership is gone, everything still runs nice and smoothly. That you started on time, you had a great environment of prayer and praise, and everything just continues to flow. And that's a sign of good leadership, that when the leader's gone, the house still runs well. Amen? I'm very grateful for my family to be with here, my mother, my daughter, sister-in-law, nephew, Brother Ralston. They came out to worship with us and to support me. They said if he falls on his face, at least we'll be there to pick him up. My wife sends her love. She's traveling this morning. She couldn't be here. She's headed to Vermont. I dropped off at the airport about 6:30 this morning, but she sends her love. And so we're going to get started here. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes for the time that I've been given to reflect on a few things that the Lord has spoken to me about. Reverend Butler did text me about 5 weeks ago. When I saw the text, I thought it was a mistake. And he says, Brother Phil, could you possibly consider filling in? I'm going to be traveling. And so he said, take it in prayer, which I did. And so I took about 3 or 4 weeks before I heard something from the Lord and responded. And so I was nervous in the sense that, as you know, your pastor is he's a quadruple threat. I said, first of all, he has a fashion thing. He's dynamite with his attire. And Rev can go a lot of different ways. Sometimes he's got the suit with the sneakers. Sometimes he's got this other. I see he just has a whole fashion wardrobe, which is, I don't have that. And then he's able to tickle the keyboards like no one else, so he can play the instrument. And then he leads worship. And then he gets up and preaches and teaches. And I said, I don't have the gear. I can't play an instrument. I certainly can't sing. So I said, God, don't let me fall on my face trying to teach and teach a little bit this morning. And so it's an honor to come into a house that I know where solid meat is served up every week. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and see what he has for us this morning. Father God, we thank you that we can come to a time when we could gather around your word. We thank you for the worship and the prayer and the praise. We thank you for the assembly of the saints this morning. We thank you that you are refreshing and pouring a fresh wind on Pastor Darren and Pastor Pat as they honeymoon together this week, Father God. But now, Father God, it's time for your word, and we're asking you, Father God, to illuminate our hearts, our mind, and our ears to be receptive to it. Father, I pray that you would use me, Holy Spirit, that you would not let my shortcomings, my frailties, Father God, I'm nothing, Father God, unless you come and fill me up and speak through me, Father God. Your people desire to hear a word from you, so we're saying, Father God, speak. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I want to speak to you very briefly about the subject of assignments, daily, special, and corporate kingdom assignments. As I was meditating and looking at driving, I saw the school buses going by, and I saw someone had put a thing on Facebook. They were in Staples, and the place was crowded trying to get school supplies for the children. You know, school started last week. And so I started thinking about back to school time, and school always has a place of, thank you. All right. School always has a place of, there's assignments. There's daily assignments, and of course there's some special assignments that come along. And so if you get a special assignment, it comes with a due date and a topic and a subject and the whole deal. And I can remember as a kid, and for some reason, as soon as I was thinking about it, I started thinking about Oak Tag. I guess I'm probably dating myself, but it seemed like every time there was an assignment, you got to get some Oak Tag or put together an essay or do something or build a volcano or whatever you were doing. So I thought about those assignments, and so they're the same way that we go through in school, in the natural as in the spiritual. In the natural, we have our daily assignments. We're reading the Word. We're praying. We have a worship life. We're assembling together with the saints of God. We're serving God. We do those things daily. But then sometimes God comes along and says, I've got a special assignment for you. I think you guys just fulfilled one a couple of weeks ago, you and Eisenhower Park, right? It was a special assignment. The Lord led Reverend Butler to say, we're not going to assemble here. We're going to go outside the walls. We're going to go into Eisenhower Park and preach the gospel. And so you went into a time of fasting and prayer. I have your app on my phone, and I saw your prayer wall. And every Wednesday now, you're still praying for souls, I see, as I follow it. And so that was a special assignment. And so the thing is that we have to be conscious to be able to walk in our daily assignments, but also hear the special assignments. Because in school, if we do what we're supposed to do, right, we do the homework that we get on a daily basis, we study week by week, we take the tests, we matriculate, we grow, we evolve, we go from one grade to the next. And so the same thing spiritually. The only difference with us spiritually is we don't graduate, we just keep growing. But it's the combination of the both of those things. I want to look at the calling of Moses very briefly, and how when God called him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, this was a special assignment that he was found in his daily work. And so I'm reading from, if you could turn to Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. We'll look at those key verses for the day. I know you're reading from, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which is normally what's read in the house here. And it reads there, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. And here's the assignment. Now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. So the interesting thing is that Moses, when God, this is later on, God has come to him in the burning bush in the beginning of the chapter. And God will come and speak to us in the daily routine of our everyday life. Right? In our everyday life. So we don't have to wait for a conference or saying that God is only going to speak to me during Sunday service or some big Christian event. In your everyday life, while you're carrying your laundry basket downstairs, while you're going to the grocery store, while you're driving in your car, in your everyday routine of life, God has a way to come and speak to you about something he wants to get your attention of. And so the first thing he has to do is he has to gather Moses' attention. And Moses sees the burning bush, and he says, let me go over and see what this thing is. And so the same with us. For our assignments, God has to gather our attention. Then he sees us respond, and then he cried out to Moses, Moses, Moses. And Moses replied, here I am. And then God starts to speak to him. And then God reveals himself to Moses in a new way. The first time we see in Scripture the word holy being used ever is in Exodus. And he tells Moses, stop. Don't come any further. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. And it's like this. This is the VFW hall. But it's the presence of God that makes anything holy ground, right? And so it doesn't matter what's going on in here during the week. I don't care about that. But when you walk in, when we walk in with the presence of God and the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit, this becomes holy ground because God is here. That's what makes something holy. Not the brick and mortar, not the building, but it's always God's presence that makes something holy. And so we have to have a God conscience. Even when we go to work, when we go to school, when we're in an environment, God is with us. And so where we're treading our feet, what we're doing, what we're establishing and making holy ground, that we can still hear from God, that we can still walk like he wants us to walk, because we're walking and living and acting on holy ground. And so then God deals with Moses' identity. Our assignment and our identity kind of collide together. Because Moses has got this 340-year period kind of in his lifetime. He's 40 years as the prince growing up under Pharaoh's household. Then he's 40 years in the desert. And now 40 years leading the nation of Israel. But God, so he's been, doesn't know his own people. He's kind of in a quandary here. He's been in Pharaoh's household for 40 years. Now he's exiled over here to Midian. He is not really with the Hebrews. But God comes and speaks to him, and he says, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what God does to him, he starts to reveal his identity. He says, because you are in the line of Abraham, you are blessed, and you fall into my lineage. And so he reestablishes Moses his identity. And the same thing with us. If we follow God in our daily assignments and special assignments, he gives us an identity. And identity is very precious because the enemy is always trying to fight for our identity. He's always trying to take us back to something that we're not. The world is fighting for our identity. And in a sense, anyone own any Apple device in here? Okay. Anybody have anything that's Nike? Nike, okay. So those are two major companies. And what they do, they advertise a lot. And what they advertise is for a reason. They want you to identify with their brand. Because if I identify with their brand, I will invest in their brand. I'll spend some time. I'll go to the website. I'll walk into the Apple store. And if I identify with the brand, if I invest some time with the brand, eventually what they're hoping is there'll be an increase because I'll do what? I'll make a purchase. I'll spend some money. And so the world is always fighting for us to identify with something. But God is saying to us also, I want you to identify with me. You're my son. You're my daughter. That's where your identity is. Invest your time in me. Invest your identity in me, and there'll be an increase based on the identity that you have with Jesus Christ. You still with me?
Yes.
All right. And so as Moses has continued to go through this process, it comes to the next point there where God reveals more of himself to Moses. We talked about revealing himself as holy. And he confirms his identity. And then it gets to the point where Moses says, I can't look. God has revealed some more of himself to Moses. And Moses says, it's too much for me. I can't look. I got to turn away. And I was rereading that text the other day in the living room. And I've read it plenty of times and certainly reading it for this, but I really identified through the Holy Spirit what Moses was saying. Because when we look at the universe and we look at nature, we look at the systems and the structure and the order that God has put in place for the universe to work, and we look at creation. We look at the sun and the stars and the moon, the beauty of the creation of God. And you start to reflect on that alone. And then you start to go a little deeper. And you get past creation, which is awesome in itself. That's why I understand how God says men are without excuse, that they should recognize the creator just looking at creation. But then God, he reveals himself to us in increments because we can't handle it all at once. And so as I'm thinking about nature and beauty and the seasons, and then I was reflecting that, wow, God, your love and your grace and your mercy, your kindness. And then you sent a son to die for us. I had to turn away. It was too much. God revealing all this to us at one time. Creation and beauty and majesty and awesomeness and power. How he keeps us. How he saved us. How could you not sometimes just want to look away? It's too much. God and your glory. And that's what Moses was feeling. He says it's just too much, the majesty of God. The goodness of God. And so that's the same way God is approaching us as he deals with our regular assignments and everyday assignments. And then we have to make sure that we're walking in our assignment. Now, in the key verses that we read, the Lord said he was going to do two things: rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. So in no unclear terms, the Lord said he was going to get the Israelites out of Egypt and into Canaan. What followed next was Moses' assignment. Very, very important here. Moses' assignment. He gave Moses only one assignment, the first one, leading the nation of Israel. If the Lord had wanted Moses to lead the Israelites into Canaan, then it seems logical the Lord would have told him to get them, told him right then and there. However, after explaining to Moses that he was going to do both things, the Lord only assigned one of them to Moses. I know a lot of you guys, I see your Bible literacy program, and this is the year of wisdom, so I know some of y'all are saying, wait a minute, what's this cat talking about? In Numbers 20, when Moses struck the rock twice, God told him, yeah, that's it, you're not taking the people in. But we also have to leave some room from God's foreknowledge, because the same way Moses struck the rock in Exodus 17, he didn't strike it, he struck the rock in Exodus 17, but this time in Numbers, God told him to speak to the rock. And so he was upset that God and Moses and Aaron dishonored him. They didn't trust him enough. But he also has enough foreknowledge because he's God. So why would he also have been training up Joshua to take Moses' place to go into the land of Canaan if he knew this wasn't going to go down? So Moses had one assignment. It's very clear to know your purpose because, as Dr. Monroe has said, if you pursue the wrong assignment, you're going to need things you can't get. Because the provision isn't there unless the vision is yours. It's someone else's assignment. God has his own warehouse for that person. And sometimes people make demands on God that he can't or won't do because he's not going to give us what doesn't belong to us. So it'd be like me coming home from school with a paper, and I've got the wrong paper with the wrong person's name on it, with a different grade, and I take it to my mom and say, look, I need this stuff for my assignment. She's saying, well, no, this is not your stuff. We're not going to go buy, I'm not going to give you the resources to do this because this is not your assignment. And a lot of times in the church world, we have to be very careful because we got to be careful that we're listening to know what my assignment is so I could be effective for God. So if I'm trying to fulfill somebody else's assignment, God can't equip me to do it. And I know the saying we always have, God calls the equipped, he doesn't equip the call. But yes, that's true. But at the same time, I love music. I don't know, maybe I have 3,000 songs in my iTunes library or somewhere around there. I just love every Tuesday, without fail, I go to iTunes because music is released Tuesday, most of it Tuesday, and some of it on Friday. But every Tuesday and every Friday, I go to iTunes to check out what's new, what's hot. I think last week I bought the new single by Kirk Franklin. Nice song, Want to Be Happy, good track. But anyway, I'm always on iTunes picking up some music. I love gospel music. It's in the car. But guess what? I can't sing a lick. So if I got up here and started singing, I can't say, oh, I'm going to sing this. No, that's not my gift. God hasn't equipped me for that. I can't do it. It's not my assignment. Leave that to the praise and worship leaders who did a great job today. Amen. So it's key for that. If we understand and we hear from God in our assignment, know it's ours, walk in it. He'll equip us and give us the provision we need to carry it out. Amen. And then there's a level of preparation intersects with divine timing. As we look at Moses and the glimpses of this 340-year period in exile, there's a whole bunch of preparation, right? The Bible says that Moses was the most humble man that ever lived. And I wonder if spending 40 years in the desert taking care of sheep didn't help mold that humility, that he just so humble, just accepted his lot in life. And so there's always a preparation time and there's divine timing. The divine timing of God. Now, the difference is, one, we have the ability to have some impact in is the obedience as we're carrying out our daily assignments. We have some input in that. The divine timing of God, we have no input in that whatsoever. And so eventually there is a intersection that happens. And so what happens is Moses, obviously, in the text, He says, God, I can't do this thing. He protests. He says, who am I to go to Pharaoh to tell him this. He starts looking at everything that he lacks. I don't have the authority. I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. God's sending him out on a special assignment. Moses is protesting. Who am I to go to Pharaoh? And God doesn't really answer his question. In the next verse, he makes a statement. He says, I am with you. And I want to encourage and remind you, Father, you saints, that I am with you trumps everything. If God says, I've given you the assignment, it's yours, I'm with you, that trumps everything. Everything. Don't worry about what you don't have, how it's not going to happen, I don't have the provision. If God says, I'm with you, and when God uses the language, I'm with you in the Old Testament, it means I'm going to be with you to give you the power and the resources to accomplish what I've sent you to do. Let me take this principle a little bit further. Moses spending his time in the desert. Some people look at your life or the ministry or any ministry, and all they see is obscurity because they're glancing at a particular snapshot. They're saying, what's the big deal? You know, I hear people, and people know I'm attached to Pastor Butler and Pastor Pat, and sometimes they say to me, it's two people ask that question. They say, how's the ministry doing? Talking about good news. I say, how's Reverend Butler doing? Now, some people are asking out of genuine, sincere concern. And some people are asking of saying, well, they've been over here a while. Has it blown up yet? What's going on? It went from the evening to the morning. I thought it was going to blow up. It's a different motive there. But what they don't understand is how God is working. And I want to show you this. And so sometimes we look at the process of preparation, meeting with God's timing. And the outcome is up to God. Now, you think about protests. Thank God. This is your 15th year in ministry. That Pastor Darren and Pastor Pat, I'm sure when he got the call of God to start a church and be called into the pastorate, to start a church in the house with a handful of folks, I would imagine there's some protest in that. I mean, like, God, I don't have a building. I don't have a staff. I don't have a budget. I haven't been to seminary. There could be a whole bunch of things that went through his mind but he was obedient to the call of God. And then what happens is God in the scripture says, no man could come to the Father unless I draw him. Now God answers prayers through people. We've seen that being demonstrated through Moses right here. God said, I've heard the cry of my people. Folks were praying. He says, I've come down to deal with this thing. Now here we see God says, no man can come to the Father unless I draw him. And so you and I, none of us came out the womb saved. We were living some other life at some point. But there were parents and grandparents, and uncles and aunties who were praying, save Phil, save John, save. They were crying out to the Lord. Now, the process, they're crying out in prayer. Prayer's going to God. But God says, no man can come to the Father unless I draw him, unless Jesus does the drawing. So now God starts drawing you. He starts to get you to look at your life and how you doing and what's going on. And maybe you should finally attend the church service. At the same time, God is drawing you. God was over here 15 years ago dealing with Reverend Butler. No, I want you to go into the ministry. Now, don't worry about what you don't have. I'm with you. Do it. So now God draws him. Now he's struggling. They're doing their thing. They're in the house. You're nomadic. You're setting up. You're breaking down. You're doing this. All this stuff that's going on. It's not easy being in ministry. But imagine this. If they hadn't answered the call and been obedient 15 years ago, and somebody praying for you a long time ago to get saved, there was an intersection. God's timing and his Reverend Butler and Pastor Pat's obedience in the assignment. The two intersected. Now, how do you put a price on a soul? That you were out there somewhere lost. Somebody was praying for you. God sent you here to this house that somebody stayed faithful for all those years that there could be a divine intersection of your soul and the Word of God and the gospel of Christ for you to be saved and enter into the kingdom of God. And you want to ask me how the ministry's doing? I know the ministry is doing fantastic because people are being saved. Not just here, but you've been crying out on Wednesdays, God, save people. And it's happening. We don't know where it's happening at, but God is responding to your prayers. But that's a divine intersection. I mean, can you imagine that? What if he hadn't accepted the call? What if he had said, I don't have all the stuff? What if I don't have all the training? I don't have the seminary. We don't have the money. We don't have the budget. We don't have the building. God, I'm not doing it. Where would you be at? Would you have pastors and leadership who care for you, who love you, who want the best for your life, who are pouring into you, who are nurturing your soul? Divine timing and God's process plan meet together in our lives always when we have these special assignments. And so sometimes you're going through the process. You're working as a CMR, or you're dealing with the children, or you're leading this. And sometimes in the ministry, sometimes it might seem like it's obscure. When is the next big level going to happen? God says, no, you just stay faithful. You just keep plugging in. I'm with you. Stay obedient in your daily assignments. Just pay close attention to hearing the special assignments, and I'll be the one to provide the divine timing. You know, my wife watches a lot of HGTV, and so I'm a good husband. I go along with it, so I know all the shows on HGTV, House Hunters International, and the Property Brothers, all these shows. I know them all. And one of the phrases I've seen in the house is that they go into these houses and they tell the people, you know, this is a dream house. It doesn't look like it, but all the shows, when you finish it, the houses look, they're laid out. And so I heard this terminology that say, don't pay attention to what things look like. The house has good bones. They're saying the house really has solid structure. And I just want to remind you, encourage you, saints of International Good News, this house has good bones. The structure is sound. The organization is good. The website is tight. The app is good. The worship is hot. The word is good. The house has good bones. Your job is just stay faithful, stay obedient in your daily assignments, and you wait for the timing of God to take you from one place to the next. Because guess what? You're no longer in the house. You're no longer renting out someplace at night or in the evening. You're over here in the day. And so God has been faithful over the years to take you from here to here to here to here. And so that's how God works. He wants that type of leadership on his team, someone who could be tested and patient and trusted with the assignments of God, as Pastor Darren and Pastor Pat have been doing for all this time. Because guess what? When it's too easy, sometimes we can't see the value in the things. When it's too easy. Now, we've come into this thing with our children as a society that we just make everything too easy. We just got this thing that, yes, we want our children to have a better lives. We have little 3 and 4 or 5-year-old kids, and they got $100 sneakers on, and we're doing all this stuff for them. I'm saying to myself, these kids can't keep this up. Everything they want, sometimes as parents, they got a Christmas list, and you got to chase this down. It's too much. It's too much. So guess what? The kid gets it, and they don't value it. Because here's the concept of how the human mind equips value. Let me give it to you real simple. If something is hard to get and it's expensive, we think it's valuable. So sometimes manufacturers of certain goods, what they do is they make a very limited, store. You can only get this in the Gucci's. And so it's hard to get. And once it's hard to get, the price goes way up. And so in your mind, it's hard to get. The price is sky high. This must really be valuable. And it's something that's not always true. Sometimes we have to learn to have some delayed gratification as believers. So go ahead and there's nothing wrong with giving your kids some things. Well, you got to give them everything. Because we hurt them when it's too easy. You know, sometimes men and women are out here dating. My daughter is out here. She's 26. I'm praying for her husband, God husband, a good man, and someone she'll be able to walk in and have a life with. But same thing with women. The women say, listen, there's no good men out there, and there's a shortage. And I understand the temptation for sisters to change their standard. In other words, to lower the value. But I could tell you, as a man and someone who's saved now and wasn't saved, but I could tell you my outlook when I wasn't saved, like a lot of brothers said. They're just looking to get whatever they could get, bottom line. And so what? We have two consoles. We look at the woman that we could get something from and the woman we see as our wife and the mother of our children. Two different things. And so the woman who gives it up real easy, there's no value in that to us. Now, we'll take it. We're going to take it. But what happens is there's no value in it to us. The person doesn't represent value. And what happens is we eliminate that person from saying, she's not mother or wife material. So meanwhile, a sister's thinking, I gave you everything. You did what you gave him to him when you shouldn't have. You gave it to him too easy. He didn't value it. And now he's gone. He's gone. There's no value in it. And so we have to learn how to value some things, that God wants us to value some things that we properly handle them correctly. Our assignments can be answers to prayers. They have eternal implications. Our assignments can be answers to prayers that have eternal implications. And the assignments and the promises are tied together. I'm going to close with these three things. Our assignments can be answers to prayers. We see that Moses was, okay. We see that Moses is responding to the people crying out to God, that God comes and uses Moses to answer prayer. God answers prayer through people. Now, there are obviously sometimes he does things on his own as far as healing. But you're crying out, Lord, I want to get a house. And your credit was a little messed up, but now you've got yourself back together. And so you're crying out for this prayer for God. I'm just giving an example of how God uses people. And so now you get some information, you gather your credit report, and you do all that essential stuff, and so you start rebuilding yourself. But eventually you go out and you apply for a mortgage somewhere, you do something, and the people say to you, you're not ready yet. Get out of here. But you're praying. And then what God does, he sends a person along who says, you know what? They look at your stuff and they say, yes, it's got some problems, but I think I could work with you. This is what I need you to do over the next 6 months. And all of a sudden, you have a ray of hope. And so now you start following the person's guidelines. You walk through the connections. You go through the process. The next thing you know, you obtain the mortgage. You've got the house. God answered your prayer. He answered the prayer through a person. You are answered prayer. Say that with me. I'm an answer to prayer. You're answer to prayer to somebody somewhere. And our assignments have eternal implications in the sense that whether we know it or not, they're there. And so most of us, if we're blessed to start a family and to get married and we're raising our children, we try to provide for them. We want to give them a good education. We want to nurture them and develop them like anybody else. Those are shared things, whether you're saved or not. But the difference is if I'm raising my kid, and it's a difference, and it's not really a difference, but it's the same thing. If I don't expose my child to Christ, if I don't expose them to the gospel, they don't have a chance to choose what they haven't been exposed to. Now, my assignment that God has already told me is to raise a child in the nurture and development of the Lord. That's my assignment as a parent along with that other stuff. If I do the assignment properly, it has eternal implications, one way or another. Because we're dealing with someone's soul. Eternity is at stake for us. And so we have a chance as parents, we got to know that with all other stuff you're going to deal with, if I get them through school and they went to Ivy League and they're on their own and they got their house and they got everything but no Christ, there's eternal ramifications for that. That person could, the soul could be lost. And so we have these assignments sometimes obviously have eternal implications. And also the promises and our assignments are tied together. They were praying this morning, and I heard them quoting Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. Right? So we want all the things giving unto you is the promise. The assignment is what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We love pressed down, running together, poured out. Oh, you know, that's great, but what's the first part? Give, and it shall be given unto you. The assignment is to be a giver. And so there's a whole bunch of promises of God which are tied to our daily assignments. And so if we're walking in the assignments of God and fulfilling them, then the promises are tied together. And so as believers, as we go through our daily promises, our daily assignments are tied to our promises. We seek the kingdom. We continue to focus on God. God is with you. I just want to encourage you, good news, to continue in the path that you're on, that your God's divine timing, you fulfilling your daily assignments, are going to meet head on, and God is responsible for how they're going to grow and how he's going to move and what's going to develop. And so at the end of chapter 4, and this is a great place of worship, at the end of chapter 4. Is that a countdown clock? What's the time here? I'm trying to get a sense of the time. How much time? I'm closing anyway. But at the end of chapter 4, you know, Pastor Pat and Pastor Darren in this house has a great heart for worship. And we all can be worship leaders in fulfilling our daily assignments and special assignments in this task. And I tell you, I can't sing a lick. But when Moses goes back and he reports to the people with Aaron everything that God told him at the end of chapter 4, the scripture says that they believed Moses and they responded that God was concerned enough to come down and deal with their situation. And the scripture says they bowed down and they worshiped. And so when we fulfill our daily assignments and our special assignments, being obedient to God, being an answer to prayer, we end up becoming worship leaders because we take the good news of Christ. We take the love of Christ. God says, I'm with you. We take the power of the Holy Spirit. And God says that when people respond to God in you, Christ living in me and you, he says, they bowed down and they worshiped the living God. And what more can we ask for than that? That God has saved us, he's redeemed us, he's restored us, he's kept us. And now we're asking God to, God, help me to be attentive. Help us to be attentive to my daily assignments and to the special assignments that the Holy Spirit to be calling me to. That it doesn't matter if I'm not equipped, or if I have lack, what my protest is, if God told me to do it and he says, I'm with you, that trumps everything else. My identity is in my assignments. Everything is there. It's all the divine timing and the promises of God are in our assignments that we have daily and special assignments. And, you know, when you matriculate in school, especially in college, you get to group assignments. Right? Every you get an assignment in college somewhere and it's group, you're with this group, and sometimes you're doing it over the line, over the internet. And the tough thing about group assignments is you're always concerned, will I end up with a group and is this cat gonna carry his load? And it's the same thing with us in ministry. We've got personal assignments that we gotta do daily, and we've got corporate assignments. And so sometimes corporately God wants us to each carry our load. We don't have to do somebody else's assignment. He says, whatever I've assigned you to do, you carry your load, and the team and the group is much more effective. Amen? So as I close, I just want to give someone a chance. I know that we're all, it looks like you're all family here, but I just want to make sure that we cover those bases. If I have the privilege to do that, just want to extend the invitation to Christ. Is that okay? Because Moses was in a place of God had to deal with his identity, who he was, deal with his lack. I don't have it. I can't do it. He put a team around him, gave him Aaron, gave him the elders. I suggest you go back and read chapters 3 and 4 on your own. But you can't carry out your daily assignments or the special assignments without Christ. It's impossible to do it. That means you're not identified with him. You have to identify with Christ to be able to do that. And so I just want to give you an opportunity, if everyone can close their eyes and as I pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your spirit. And Father God, if there's someone under the sound of my voice while every eye is closed, and through this worship encounter this morning, through the prayers and through the worship, maybe even through this word, Father God, they realize that they are out of the ark of safety, that they have not identified themselves with Jesus Christ, our Lord and risen Savior. Father God, you desire to bring them into your family, to adopt them into the kingdom of God. And so while every eye is closed and every heart bowed, if you're here this morning, I just ask you and you desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ so you really can start carrying out your assignments for the Lord in the army of God. I just ask you to just go ahead and slip your hand up. there's someone here this morning, just slip your hand up. Amen. So we thank God for salvation all over the house. Now, Father God, we come before you while our hearts and heads are still bowed, asking you, Father God, to take us, give us a different perspective on life. That our life is one big assignment. The daily assignments that we must carry out for you, Father God, and the different roles that we carry, but under the banner of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and those special assignments. Help us to see these things in a different manner, to respond with the word, through the Spirit, to carry out the tasks that you have us to carry out. Father God, we don't want to get on the other side of glory with regret. We don't want to get there and say, did you hear the special assignment I gave you to carry out? Why didn't you do it? Why didn't I got your attention? I gave you the charge. Father God, we pray that we can hear good and well done by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's a new day. Help us to walk in the assignments of our life. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.